Today's episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast is presented by the Sports Spectrum Podcast Network. For more stories, more conversations on the intersection of sports and faith, check out sportsspectrum.com.
Welcome to Sports Spectrum, where we bring Jesus back into the conversation. Here's your host, former ESPN producer, Jason Romano.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am Jason, and this is the Sports Spectrum Podcast. We're so glad that you're tuning into our show today. My email address is jason@sportsspectrum.com. If you'd like to reach out with a guest idea, a show topic, maybe just want to say something about today's guest, Steve Carter, you can email me directly, jason@sportsspectrum.com. And Steve Carter is our guest today. He's got a brand new book out called The Thing Beneath the Thing. So Steve is an author. He's also a pastor and a speaker and a teacher. He's a podcast host. He hosts a couple shows called Craft and Character, as well as the Home Team podcast. And Steve is the former lead teaching pastor at Willow Creek Community Church in Chicago. You'll see him teaching at churches and conferences and events and camps and retreats all over the country. And he's got this new book out now called The Thing Beneath the Thing: What's Hidden Inside and What God Helps Us to Do About It. It released August 10th, 2021. Steve is a giant sports fan as well, and he hosts a sports podcast, the Home Team podcast. So we talk a lot of sports, we talk a lot of faith, and we get a little deeper on The Thing Beneath the Thing. And I have a copy of Steve's book that I'm going to give away on the back end of this podcast. So if you'd like to win a free copy, I might even give away two free copies. We'll see. But if you'd like to win a copy of Steve's new book, The Thing Beneath the Thing, stay tuned on the back end of this podcast, and I'll tell you how you can enter to win. Let's get to our conversation with Steve Carter. He joins us here today on Sports Spectrum. Steve Carter, welcome back to the show.
Jason Romano, man, it is good to see your face. You are just one of the good guys. And I just feel like anything that you are putting out, whether it's a verse on Twitter, whether it's just an interview with an athlete that, I just didn't know their faith story through Sports Spectrum. Like, I love the way that you are curious, the questions you ask, and just the person, husband, father that you are. And love your books, man. I love your books. So thanks for having me on.
I love yours too. Yeah, absolutely. And we get to talk about your new book in a little bit, The Thing Beneath the Thing. It released August 10th, 2021. We're going to talk about that. It's always exciting when you have a new book releasing and you want to put it out for the world for everybody to hear. But before we go there, the football season is about to start. It's just a week or two away. I'm excited for the NFL, of course, as a big football fan. I know you are too. You do a podcast with two football guys, with Sam Acho and Trey Burton. But recently, as we're recording this, Aaron Rodgers had decided he's going to play and come back to the Packers, which I don't think, even though he said he was close to, I never doubted that he was going to come, wasn't going to come back. I mean, there's a lot of money on the table and he still has a lot to prove, if you will, even though he shouldn't have anything to prove. But you posted on Twitter as you were quote tweeting the press conference, which was an epic press conference for that first day back at training camp. And you said, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback I've ever seen. And I say that, Steve Carter, because I said the same thing. I just didn't put it in a tweet. But I think people have asked me that he's the best quarterback I've ever seen throw a football.
Yep.
Now, he might not be the most successful. He's certainly not Tom Brady and all that he's accomplished. But I agree with you. I was hoping we could have like an argument, but we really can't. But you posted that tweet about Aaron Rodgers. By the way, you're a Bears fan as well, right?
Yep.
So there's a lot going on with that tweet.
It's a very, very difficult thing for me to say, but it's true. And here's why. I remember a few years back, Aaron had signed that massive contract that was like loaded in the signing bonus. Yeah. And if you remember, it's opening day. I drive up to Lambeau. There's a few Bears fans there at Lambeau. And Aaron goes down. So he's first half. It's Khalil Mack's real first game. He strip sacks DeShone Kizer, runs it back.
Sunday night football, right?
It's Sunday night football. Yeah. It was a beautiful day. Unbelievable. And then I kid you not, like all eight of us Bears fans are talking so much trash to Lambeau, and it's fantastic. And all of a sudden, halftime, people are warming up. And I kid you not, like one large fan stands up and goes, "It's Aaron." And like literally this wave. And it was like messianic, like the return. And right there, I was like, we lost. Like I knew it. Like I just knew it. And he ends up leading them on these drives and just the quick release, the way that he plays. I mean, you have to respect the talent that he has as that God's gifted him with. And yeah. He's remarkable. And I wish he wasn't up north on the Packers. But man, he's fantastic to watch.
Well, the team I root for is not in the NFC North, but the Cowboys have gotten pummeled by Aaron Rodgers on many occasions, including the 2014 playoffs, including the 2016 playoffs when he made that ridiculous throw.
The tight end standing right at the sideline.
I think it was Jared Cook, if I'm remembering correctly. Yep. He's broken my heart numerous times. And that's why I think, you know, from a personal perspective, when I watch him, I say he's doing things in very much in the same vein that I remember watching when I saw Peyton Manning. Yeah. When I saw Peyton Manning first throw a football, I was like, I don't think I've ever seen anybody throw a football like Peyton Manning. And I go back to the early to mid 80s from my football watching and football loving years. So I saw Dan Marino and I saw Joe Montana and all those guys and watched them every game pretty much. And Marino is up there too. But Aaron Rodgers is something else.
Something else.
45 touchdowns and 6 picks. That just in an age when all you do is throw, it's just insane what he's doing and what he's still doing. Right. And he's 36, I think, or 37,
37,
just incredible watching him play. So I don't disagree with you on him being the best quarterback I've ever seen. Now the best quarterback of all time is still Tom Brady. And I think there's a very slight difference in how you say that. Yep. But I think the best quarterback I've ever seen, both in person, because I did get to go to Lambeau as well. By the way, what was your experience like at Lambeau? I loved it. I thought it was amazing.
It's kind of like the NFL equivalent to Wrigley. I mean, the fact that you're driving around the neighborhoods and parking in people's, like, you know, backyards. And so, yeah, I loved going to Lambeau. I mean, if you've never been there, go early in the year because it just gets colder and colder. I've been there multiple times. And I froze. I literally froze. I could hear like the frozen tundra. You know, I could hear it in the back of my mind. And it literally is even colder than I expected it to be.
Oh, it's brutal. It's brutal. Steve Carter is joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. I did want to ask you, because you're a speaker and you travel a lot, and 2020 was a time when, you know, all the traveling stopped basically. And so you're not able to do that. What was that like for you as a guy who is a pastor and a teacher and a speaker, but you kind of do it in a lot of different spaces and places where you're teaching and you're going to travel and speak and share? What was that like, kind of everything stopping for you as a guy who travels quite a bit?
You know, there were some parts that really surprised me, to be honest. I had done, you know, almost 200,000 miles in the air the year before, you know, so I was gone. And I had gotten to the point of every weekend I was somewhere, you know, going to Colorado, Chicago, somewhere. And then for 16 weeks, I didn't go anywhere.
Right.
I was grounded. And I honestly, Jason, like I didn't realize how much I missed being home because part of my job was, you know, it's kind of like when you speak for a chaplain for an NFL team, they tell you things you can't talk about. So you can't talk about injuries. Don't like talk about, because you don't want that to be in the player's mind. Right. I don't think I had thought about enough, man, I'm gone every weekend, but just being in ministry, that's been the case. Whether I live locally, I was at Saturday early for Saturday service and Sunday early until like the afternoon when I got home. So I had this rhythm down. Now it just had hotels, Hertz Rent-A-Car, American Airlines attached to it. To have that and have to stay at home, record a teaching on a Tuesday, wake up, get donuts with my kids. I realized how much I missed. It actually got me more connected to my sadness of like, oh man, I'm missing so much. And I remember the first time at Sky Harbor getting on the plane and going, I don't want to go. And just having to like, I just want to be home. I liked I liked the gift of getting to record and do that. But it's what I get to do, and it's a privilege. But it all has a upside downside to it.
Yeah, it's a traveling world that, and that's what I was going to ask you too, is once you start that back up, did anything change, or did you kind of, because that's a big portion of how you support your family as well, the traveling, right? Because it's a job that you're doing. So you're doing that. And at the same time, you appreciate that time with your family. Does it change anything in how you go about scheduling, speaking in the future, especially knowing that there is Zoom now, right? And that the teaching could be done just like we're recording this podcast. And really, it's different, certainly being in person, but there's still ways to communicate and connect.
You know, I think that's the conversations that my wife and I are having a lot right now. And we've really been trying to figure this out, because I'm coming off of probably the craziest month I've ever had, because all of these family camps that I would do, you know, got postponed to this year. Right. And then I didn't know that my book was going to drop August 10th, you know, when I allowed those dates to be moved from last summer to this summer. And then I had other outside speaking already set up. So I think I've done like so many miles in this last 3-4 week run, driven cross country. I mean, literally, if I told you, like, I parked my car in San Francisco from Phoenix because it was easier for me to get to the next speaking thing, to fly from Chicago to San Fran to drive, bonkers. But what I would tell you is I've actually done a lot of this craziness, and I've been able to bring my son, and it's been so good. But I think we're really trying to reevaluate to say this can be crazy because of book. This can't be the new normal. And so we're looking at trying to really hone back. And I think, again, answer the bigger questions. What is enough? What's enough speaking? What's enough money? What's enough like opportunity? What's enough? And I think I as a 3 on the Enneagram, I think I have to wrestle those questions down. Hey, what's the real reason I'm doing this? What am I running from? What am I trying to run towards? And you can even do this in the church, you know, as a pastor. And so it helps me get to, you know, what I'm even writing about, the thing, like, what's the real reason why we do what we do?
Well, I mean, I remember 2018 or so, it was about a year after I left ESPN, and I was enjoying the idea of speaking, and I was doing more speaking and sharing my story, sharing about forgiveness. And I remember getting so caught up in me and wanting to have people, hey, like, just to let you know, I'm available to speak. Hey, putting it on my social media that I'd love to do more speaking. And it felt really weird to do that. And I don't regret doing it, but I stopped doing it because it felt very weird. And it felt like I was fighting this battle of me versus, you know, God versus we, as in trying to serve the community that's inviting me to speak. Do you ever battle with that yourself in terms of, you know, what's in this for me versus how can I serve you? There's a real push pull, I think, for a lot of people who speak.
Yeah, definitely. Do you know the comedian Michael Jr.?
Yeah, we had him on the show. Yeah.
Oh, he's fantastic. You know, so Michael did this whole thing once where he talked about how he used to use the audience to like affirm him. So I like go up there and I tell jokes and like they'd laugh and then I feel better about myself. Sure. And then something flipped inside of him where he was like, hey, like I can give a gift to this audience. I don't need their response. I just get to go give this gift. And I remember thinking like, that's how I want to be. And it's this really difficult tension. I mean, when you wrote Live to Forgive, I mean, that's an amazing book, or The Uniform of Leadership. I mean, fantastic book. Mm. You put blood, sweat, and tears. I mean, especially in the Live to Forgive, like in the ways that you are just breaking yourself open, pouring yourself out, your relationship with your dad. Yeah. Like, I want as many people to read that as possible. And it's easy for me to say that. It's harder for me to talk about my own stuff. I could tell the world about what you're doing, but something feels weird for me sometimes to promote like the thing beneath the thing. Like, I just feel like it's hard for me, but at the same time, I'm really proud of it. I'm really like, I feel like it's really like I worked hard on it and I want people to enjoy this. But I think that I know myself well enough to know I'm reaching too far. Like I'm trying to be something that I'm not. And I just have this like vision sentence that I just I've been trying to live out. And it's just a life anchored in Jesus is one that is nothing to prove, nothing to lose, and nothing to hide. And so if I can live with that, I'm not trying to prove, I'm not trying to like, I'm afraid of losing this and whatever I have or whatever this is. And I'm not trying to hide and like deceive. I'm trying to be honest and human about my faith and my life and the places where I desperately need more of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I think if I can live from that posture, it gives me more ability to say, hey, here's what I'm putting out in the world. But I also have to be really, really clear. Like, this whole thing is dangerous. This can be a real dangerous, and you see people who are just constantly marketing themselves and living that. And it's almost like they become a caricature of, who they were meant to be. And I just go, all I want to be is like honest and human, someone who's trying to help people know about Christ and really wrestle with the questions that so many of us battle, but we just don't know how to like walk through and walk through well. And that's what I'm just trying to do. Hopefully it works, but yeah, but it's a tricky dance to navigate.
I think athletes struggle with this too. Don't you?
Totally. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think too, it's like oftentimes when, especially as their career is winding down, they've been known for one thing and then they're like, what's the next thing? So there's a whole piece or they're walking this, you know, they're a position player, like a wide receiver, and all these wide receivers are like doing dances and the touchdowns, you know, when they score and they got all this, like, and they're like, I'm not that person, but I feel like I have to be if I want a bigger contract or I want all of these pressures that people feel. And I think how they navigate that, man, says a lot about their trust in Christ. How aware they are of themselves and their own pain and their own kind of insecurity and the people in their life who are really speaking truth and they've given permission to.
You know, I forgot to ask you this before, but I really wanted to, and it might segue into what we're talking about here. You've become friends with pro athletes because you do a podcast with Sam Acho and Trey Burton. So just those two alone, but I know you've met and worked with many other athletes as well. I'm wondering as a sports fan, because this kind of changed for me as well. When you became friends or acquaintances, even some people, we say they're friends. We meet them and hung out with them a couple times. Yeah, you know, they're not really your best friends, but did it change how you cheer and root for teams and how you view these guys each day or week when they're trying to compete because you know them versus just being a fan? When I was 17, 18, I didn't know these guys and I was just a crazy fan. Did it change how you view them or how you view athletics because of the fact that you've gotten close to a few athletes yourself?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, for a couple of years I did Bible studies for the Chicago Bears and, you know, during the week and it was awesome, you know, and really Trey and Sam kind of led that time. And it was really beautiful what those guys did. And I just helped kind of facilitate, but I wanted them to lead and they did a great job. And I got to know a number of these players and then, you know, I think only two of them are still on the team. Right. So now, you know, some of them are out of the league. Some of them are on different teams. Some of them are still stuck in free agency. So it's kind of like this really weird piece of, oh, I really like that Bears team. And this Bears team is a different Bears team. But I still root for the Bears, obviously. But when you get to know the person and you realize like their story, the pressure, the resources, the family dynamics, just all of that, you start to recognize like, man, these guys, there's a lot of pressure. And I know it's kind of funny, like to say, like, there's a lot of pressure and they're making all this money, but at the same time, there's a lot of pressure. And, I think for me, I've just chosen to say like, I'm never going to need something from Sam or Trey.
Right.
I've never called them and be like, hey, dude, can I get some tickets? Like all I want to be is a voice in their ear that says, reminds them who they are, a safe place where they can vent and be honest, and a person that can just be available to for any moment of counsel, any moment of like, kind of prayer, and just a moment of trash talk, you know, cause I'll always add that in as well, but that's the piece for me. And it's been fun to really cheer these guys on, officiate some weddings, for them, and just to celebrate the men that they are becoming. the disciples that they are becoming, and just the influencers for good that I believe is within them that God is unleashing through them.
Yeah, because athletes, for so many years, it's all about take, take, take. People coming to them and saying, can you do this? Can you give me this? Can you be here at this time? Can you sign this? Whatever it is. And it's very hard for athletes to find genuine close connection and relationship. And I know that just talking to many of them, that they have a tight inner circle and they don't let go of that inner circle because so many other people are trying to get in that circle because they want to take something from them.
For sure. For sure. Yeah,
it's really tough.
And even just like, I mean, I think for people sometimes like, and you addressed it right from the jump, like they can consider this person a friend, but they're not a friend. They're barely an acquaintance, right. But what they post on Instagram is like what they're trying to get is, hey, look at me. Like I know this guy, look at me. I'm with this guy. And right. Really, like if you went to like the Matthew 6 Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is talking about like fasting in public or praying in public or giving, in public, he says this great line, oh, they've received their reward in full. Like they got what they wanted to be seen, like they're in with this athlete or in with this person. Yeah. And I just, I have to check myself sometimes.
Same
like,
here.
Hey, what's my motivation? Is it like, oh man, I'm reaching so that people think that I'm a bigger deal than I am. Right. I don't want to admit that, but like, I think there's been moments where I've been really close to tweet or post on Instagram, or I have, and I've had to go back and go, man, I made it seem like we're friends and we're barely acquaintances. And yeah, thanks be to God that I'm still a piece of work in process that needs more of Jesus. But I think if I'm the athlete and I see that, I'm like, is that guy just trying to use me? Mm-hmm. And I never want to do that from the stance of a pastor or spiritual leader. And so there was one moment where I had a call, like an athlete and be like, hey man, I'm really sorry. Like I posted that. I think I that was more about me. So I took it down. I didn't want you to think it was about you. It was just like, I think the way that I worded that wasn't, really true of our relationship. I would love for that to be true. I just don't think that is. And I just wanted you to know my heartbeat. And I'm sorry that I use you to make me think I was bigger than I really was. Wow. And the guy was like,
I was going
to
say, what's the reaction?
The reaction was like, no, man, we're cool. Like you're fine. Like you, like I'm, it's all right. I think he was like, and then he said like, nobody's ever done this before. So I don't know necessarily that what to say. And so I said, well, I've never done this before. And I'm just sorry. And so he was like, no, that's good, man. And so, but I think right from that relationship got a lot deeper from that moment on too.
Take a quick break to tell you again about our Sports Spectrum magazine, available now for just $18 for a 1-year subscription, just $30 for a 2-year subscription. I think it's the best thing that we do here at Sports Spectrum, and you can subscribe right now at sportsspectrum.com. It's super easy. You click on the magazine icon at the website and you're good to go. You can actually get a digital version of the magazine to complement the print version that you will get in the mail when you subscribe to the Sports Spectrum magazine. It is a great resource. I tell people the magazine, it's not your typical magazine that you just pick up and kind of peruse through. This is one that I think is a resource for you as you continue in your ministry. And whether you're a coach or a teacher or a pastor or a leader, wherever you are, whatever influence you have, knowing that you want to share the gospel, maybe use sports as a gateway to share the gospel. The Sports Spectrum magazine is a great resource for you. It might be a great resource for someone else. You can get it for yourself, get it as a gift for someone else. Maybe get a bunch and go through it together in a team setting, in a small group setting. But you can subscribe right now at sportsspectrum.com. Again, $18 for a 1-year subscription, $30 for a 2-year subscription, super cheap. And available right now to order at sportsspectrum.com. He is Steve Carter, pastor, speaker, author. He's joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. Let's talk about the new book. We've referenced it a few times, The Thing Beneath the Thing. It's such a great title. I have copies here, by the way. If you're listening right now, we're going to tell you at the end of this podcast how you can win a copy of the thing beneath the thing. It's such a unique cover too. I'm big on covers now that I've written a couple books, and I love the cover of this book, but I also like what's inside it as well. And that's important. Tell us about the thing beneath the thing.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Well, you know, there's that great passage in the book of Romans where Paul's like, why do I do what I do? The thing I want to do, I do not do. The thing I hate, I do.
So
and
true.
I think, yeah, you know, and I think every one of us can relate to that. Like, why did I say that? Why, when someone cut me off on the freeway, did I scream? Why did I get defensive? Why did I, you know, drink this, buy this, like, look at this? Like, I think for many of us, we have these places that we go. And I just have realized that almost like the more I started to sit with people in my office as a pastor, nobody woke up one day and was like, you know, today's the day that I'm going to train wreck my life. Today's the day that I'm going to self-sabotage all the good. But somehow, little by little, we drift farther and farther and farther from the person God intended and created us to be. So I've just been just so curious, why do we do what we do? And so this led to the thing beneath the thing, and thing is an acronym, and the T is the word for triggers. And I realized that is like the setup that sets us off. And when I get triggered, like, you know, someone says something to me that feels like it like makes me feel smaller than I am, or someone doesn't keep their word, and it brings up all this emotion in me. All of a sudden I realize that those triggers are connected to past wounds and past pain points that I really, like, because of how fast my life often can go, I haven't had the courage to take a look at. And because of that, all of this like feeling within needs to be released somewhere. And it's going to take us to four places. It's going to take us to hideouts, which, you know, we see right from the jump in Genesis chapter 3, you know, the man, the woman are feeling all of this anxiety and shame for their choices. So it's the first game of hide and seek, and they go and hide, and God seeks them out. Or for some of us, it's insecurities. We get triggered and we tell ourselves a false story. I'm not good enough. I've never been good enough. Old tapes, old lies play over us of shame. Shame storm just is raining down. So we power down. But in some contexts and some personalities, their insecurity doesn't come out in powering down. They power up, right? And they try to regain control, and they start screaming and getting verbally abusive, you know, like, but that's all insecurity. Or for some of us, we get triggered and we don't create false stories about ourselves. We create false stories about others, all those people. Yeah. All those Packer fans, you know what I mean? All those people, they're all that way, you know? And all of a sudden what we're doing is just minimizing and deflecting to get to the thing beneath the thing. We're just projecting on somebody else. And the last place I've realized, and John Wesley was an old scholar, but he wrote about three stages of grace. And he talked about the third stage being what he referred to as sanctifying grace. And it's the grace that makes us whole and holy and spiritually healthy. And I think sometimes when we think about grace, we think about it as this thing that we receive that gets us into heaven. But actually, the gift of grace is helping us become more whole, more holy, and more spiritually healthy. And so that's what I just try to help walk the readers through, so that they have the courage to address that thing beneath the thing and not run to other escapes that are going to try and derail and train wreck their story, the good story that God wants to write, and how they can experience more of God's grace.
You say it's courageous to address those things. Why do you use that word? Why is it courageous?
I think it's courageous because oftentimes, for many of us, those triggers are connected to deep pain. You know, words like abandonment, words like betrayal. You know, again, it's like, you know, Jason, when you read Live to Forgive, you know, and I, at least when I read it, and, you know, I had a really difficult relationship with my father until early, till later in his life. And God redeemed that in amazing ways. And what's incredible is when you start to actually have to address that, those real trigger points, why it's courageous is because you're not just taking what you learned and passing it down to your daughter. You're actually doing the hard work to heal, to say, hey, there's a better way, and to model that when you didn't have a great map. And so all of a sudden now you're choosing to live that. And I had to think, like, your brother's a pastor, you are doing all this good. Like, there, I think it's courageous because you're saying this generational brokenness isn't going to move past me. It's stopping. And that takes courage to name it and to do the work on it and to offer up a better life, not just for you, but for those around you.
Yeah, it is courageous. You're right. I guess the reason I ask is because you use that word a lot. And I think it's important for people to remember that it's courageous doesn't always mean easy. Like, it's not easy. The easy way is to kind of sit back and just kind of deal with it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Have you ever seen the Cadet's Prayer? My grandfather went to West Point and he's buried there. But in the 1920s, they instituted this prayer, and all the cadets would memorize it. It's really, really beautiful. But there's this great line in it that we are committed to the harder right than the lesser wrong. And I think that that piece of formation, character development, integrity, that's a harder right. That's the courageous thing. Like, and I love how you said it. It doesn't make it easy, but it's like we are committed to doing the harder right. The cross wasn't easy for Jesus. Right, you know what I mean? Right. But it was courageous because it like gave us all access to what God longed for us to have, which was grace and peace and freedom and access to Him. And so I think about this in that sense is the natural tendency for us as humans is what's more efficient, what's more easy, what's going to make me look good, where is my reputation going to be great? But the more courageous thing, I mean, I think for many of us, even just watching Simone Biles just step away, is a courageous thing. And I think for a lot of people that's a tension, like they go, she's saying, hey, there's something that's even more important than a gold medal. That is a harder right for her to be able to name that. And I think that for me is really, really beautiful.
It also was sad in some cases for me, because she genuinely found her identity as Simone Biles, the Olympic champion, the gold medalist. And she even put that, I think, on Twitter a couple of days after that I finally think I've realized that I'm more than an athlete, which is, a common phrase that's used in sports. You're more than an athlete, but to actually believe that. And like I say, you know, the thing beneath the thing, when you really think about it, that transfers over to the sports world in a huge way, because so many of those athletes don't want to go beneath the surface to really address what's going on.
Right. Right. And I think that's the reality of like how we handle pressure, how we handle disappointment, how we handle when we miss the shot, where do we go? And the truth is we all struggle with this. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there's been some amazing athletes who will create burner accounts. You know what I mean? And so like they'll create that.
Say Kevin Durant's name.
Okay. I love KD. He's one of my favorite players, but like, he creates a burner account, you know? Yeah. And again, like I look at that and I go, man, like he's trying to actually handle this critique and this criticism and this disappointment. And other people, they're going to socially unacceptable things. Right. And then there's others that are going to socially acceptable things, and they're just racking up massive amounts of debt or buying massively expensive cars. And we're all doing different things. And the way that my counselor says it is like, Steve, we're all addicts. Mm. We all look to something to soothe.
Man, that's so
and,
true.
And any place in our story where, and this is my counselor will say, any place in our story where we find ourselves getting hysterical, we're acting in a way that doesn't feel true to us being centered and grounded in Jesus. It's historical. There's a pain. There's a sadness that somebody got close to that and exposed it, whether with a comment on Twitter, whether with, our own insecurity, and we're going to go somewhere, you know, and whether you're the Hebrew nation and Moses is on top of a mountain and you're dealing with anxiety and you're like, I need to put this on something. So let's build a golden calf. We just have a ton of golden calves, and it could be workaholism. It could be, Amazon's basically funded this whole thing around one-click purchases because they know that you're going to be like, I'm struggling today. I need to buy this lawn gnome, one click buy. Why did I buy a lawn gnome? And before you can return it, it's already at your house. You know what I mean? Like they've mastered this. Yeah. And so until we have that courage to get to the thing beneath the thing, we'll keep doing the things we hate.
Well, I will kind of, I guess, go against everything that you just said and tell people to do the one click buy and go to Amazon and buy the thing beneath the thing. You like what I did there? Because it's an important book. People need to go get it. People need to read it. It's available and is now available, but released on August 10th. And I'm just excited for you, bro, with this book. Last question I have. What is your prayer when you think about the book, when people read it, what is the prayer for this one? Because you wrote another great book as well, This Invitational Life, which was your first book. I believe it was your first book. Yep. I love that book. And this book is in that same vein. But what's the prayer that you've been seeking God out and saying, okay, this is what I'm praying for, Lord, with this book?
Yeah. The prayer that I keep coming back to is just, there's an old prayer called the welcome prayer. And I say it most mornings, and it's about welcoming like everything that comes my way, because it's going to invite opportunities to become more whole and to experience healing in Christ and to become more healthy and to let go of all of the places where I am seeking affirmation or seeking attention or seeking to like fix or seeking to change, and to be open to more of God's grace and peace and love. And I feel like the more that we could demonstrate that kind of life, the healthier we will be for our own relationship with Christ, before our spouse, our kids, our friends, and what we were put on this planet to do. And so my prayer is that each and every one of us would do our work to become more whole, holy, and spiritually healthy in ways that bring us deeper and deeper into the heart of God, into the life of Christ, into the way of the Spirit.
The Thing Beneath the Thing. Go get Steve Carter's new book, and appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for being here on the show. Thanks for coming on, and let's do a whole nother segment sometime soon.
Awesome, man. Love it, bro. Thank you for everything.
And many thanks to our friend Steve Carter, pastor, speaker, and author of the new book, The Thing Beneath the Thing. Steve was great today on Sports Spectrum. I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. A lot of sports, getting a little deeper, talking about faith and identity and culture, and lots of good stuff there from Steve Carter. Make sure you go pick up the new book, The Thing Beneath the Thing. And here's now your opportunity to win a copy. We're going to make this really easy for you. All you got to do is email me, jason@sportsspectrum.com. That's my email address, jason@sportsspectrum.com. The first two people to email me will win a copy of The Thing Beneath the Thing, and I will mail that personally to you. I have my copies right here in my home office here in Connecticut, and I will send them to you. The first two people to email me, jason@sportsspectrum.com, and mention The Thing Beneath the Thing, the books are yours, and hopefully you'll enjoy them. And if you don't win, man, go buy a copy and support Steve's mission, his ministry. The book's really good. You can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever you get books, The Thing Beneath the Thing. Many thanks to Steve Carter for being here today on Sports Spectrum. Before we say goodbye, make sure you go check out our website, sportspectrum.com, for all of the free content that we put out on our website. We're talking about articles and stories and podcasts and devotionals, all for free at sportspectrum.com. And then also rate and review, and you can subscribe and like this podcast. That way you never miss an episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast. And join us next time. Tune in for a brand new episode right here on Sports Spectrum. My name is Jason Romano. We love you guys. Have a great rest of your day. Stay safe and tune in next time.